Good morning, everybody. Will you guys stand up with us today? Your emotions, Jesus, and sometimes that's hard for us to remember that, God, your joy about who we are, who you've created, your children, there is so much joy in that. And I ask that, God, today we would feel that, we would be surrounded by your joy. In Jesus' name.
King is in the room. Come see the scars of love upon his hands. The King is in the room. We'll watch the darkness flee at his command. Who is this King? Who is this King? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Light of the world. There's freedom in his name. Awesome in power. Reigning forever. Light of the world. There's freedom in his name. Oh, the healer's in the room.
of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. Burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall for me. And with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall for me. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me, is my Savior's love for me. My sin was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, your arms were wider. My guilt was great, righteousness. You pulled me from the depths of darkness into your light again.
Message of that song. You know what? No matter what you feel about yourself as you sit in this sanctuary today, or if you're watching online, God's love is greater than that. You might feel guilt. You might feel a sense of shame. You might feel a level of sin that you've never felt before, but you need to know that God is here with his arms wide open, loving you more than you could love yourself. So know that God wants to meet with you today, and we want to meet with him in prayer over the next few moments. I want to encourage those of you who might feel that heaviness or maybe a weight. Maybe there's something you're facing today that is like, man, I need my brothers and sisters to come around me. I love that we do this as a church because we get to get in this thing called life together. And so as you sit today, if that's what you're feeling and sensing and just having folks pray over you, I just want to encourage you to know that you're not alone. You serve a God who loves you beyond anything you could believe about yourself. and know that today. So as you're seated, if there are folks who would want to gather around you, we just encourage you to do that. Father, we come before you just in a sense of awe. And we admit to you that there are days and times, God, that we struggle with how we feel about life, with how we feel about circumstances, with how we feel about what's going on around us. And Lord, the message of that song tells us it doesn't matter what we feel, God, because your love, your grace, Father, your presence in our lives is greater than anything that we could know or experience or believe. And so, God, I pray for those of us here today, maybe those who are seated, who are just in a place where they're sensing desperation, frustration, maybe a lack of love, maybe a disconnect with you. And to even sing the words of that song is so foreign, to think, God, you love me beyond what I might love myself or how I might see you or view you. It's beyond any of that. God, that's just amazing to think about. And so I pray for your powerful presence that surpasses all understanding to be placed upon my brothers and sisters today. God, specifically, we pray for Coastal Community Church this morning as we think about them as a local expression of faith, and ask your blessing upon them as we pray each week for another church that is just engaging with people in their faith and helping them to understand the love of Jesus. Would you bless them today? And Lord, we specifically pray for our Turkic Arabic area directors. Lord, we know that there are projects and things that they're involved in. And God, what a unique outreach that they have. We pray for great fruit. We pray for all the projects and the training and the development of pastors and the things that are going on in their field, that you would also bless them abundantly. And then God, finally for us, as we continue to worship, Lord, I pray that our posture is one of expectation, that today you're going to do something new and unique and fresh in our lives. And we come in knowing that we have a responsibility in that to be open and available to your Spirit moving in our lives. So we pray a blessing on Evan as he brings the word today. May our hearts and minds be open to what that might be for each and every one of us this morning. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, you may be seated if you are here in Spring Lake. And I want to say a hearty welcome to you on this wet April day. I messed the saying up first hour, but April showers bring May flowers, right? I was confused, but we're in good shape. So we're excited about you being here today. If you are a guest with us today, we want to say a special warm welcome to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Maybe you're joining us online and you're a guest. We would love to get connected with you, and the way that we know how to do that best is by you filling out our connection card. And you can do that in two ways. One, there's a QR code that you'll find on the chair back in front of you, or online if you're watching again online. Or there's actually a physical card. If you wouldn't mind just taking a moment and filling that out, letting us know that you're here, you can drop that at our connection point in the foyer, and we have a gift for you. Now, today is a great day for you to be here if you are visiting, or if you're newer to All Shores, because we have what's called Explore All Shores. It's a brief 20-minute overview of All Shores. You'll get a chance to meet staff. You'll hear a little bit about our vision. You get a chance to ask questions if you have any. It is a great first step to get to know us so we can get to know you. Now, that's happening right after the service. You're going to go out the door to your left and my right. I'll meet you over there and direct you where to go. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to be registered for it. You just get to show up. We've got some goodies and coffee. Again, only about 20 minutes. If you haven't been to it before, again, great first step. We'd love to have you join us after the service. And then finally, we just want to remind you this is the time in our service when we receive our tithes and offerings. Again, if you came to bring and you brought those physically, you can place those in the offering boxes by the doors on your way out, or you can certainly give online. And again, as we say each week, we are so thankful for your faithfulness and the way you continue to support All Shores in that way. Well, youth camps are coming up, and high school camp and kids camp and all of that. We've got a little bit more information, so take a look at the screens on all of that.
All Shores, we are so excited for the opportunities our kids and youth have this summer to go to camp. We believe this is a great way for your kids to get out of their comfort zone and experience God in a whole new way.
This is also an incredible opportunity for them to build on their existing friendships and to build community with new people from All Shores and people from other churches as we gather together at camp.
We believe camp opportunities help kids encounter God in really beautiful and amazing ways. So we want to invite any of the first through fifth graders and to go to Shore Kids summer camp at the YMCA this summer. And you can go to www.allshores.org/shorekids to sign up.
And you can go to /warehouse to sign your exiting fifth through eighth grader to join us at Lake Ann Camp this July.
And at allshores.org/warehouse, you can check out Indiana Wesleyan University's NTS camp for exiting 8th through exiting 12th graders in June.
To support students going to camp this summer, we're asking one that you pray for us and pray for students' lives to be changed this summer. Secondly, you can support us financially because camp is expensive. We believe it's worth the cost, but it can be hard for a lot of families. So be on the lookout for All Shores t-shirt sales. We'll have that online as well, a link for you to purchase. And then check for any other opportunities in the next few months to help support the cost of camp tuition.
Exiting first through 12th graders, we hope to see you this summer at camp.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. So glad that we all get to be here together today. My name's Evan. If we haven't had the chance to meet, I'm here today in Spring Lake. Another one of our team, Pastor Amy, is preaching in and at our Muskegon campus. And we're not quite 5 years yet as our family being here, but man, these have been the best almost 5 years of our life. We love this church, love being a part of this church family. And we are in the third week of this series coming out of Easter called Jesus the King. And if you're new here or new for the first time in a long time, I think our time together today is going to be really, really helpful. As we follow Jesus' life, death, resurrection through the Gospels, ultimately asking the question, how is Jesus different as he shows up in Scripture from whom you and I may think he is coming in? And so we're going to dive into Mark 5 today, following Jesus around again. But before we do, we pause every single week to remind ourselves that the same God who inspired these words is the same God who's with us today. And even though I don't necessarily know how your week has gone or what you're coming in with, we believe that we serve a God and follow a God who is intimately acquainted with our lives and that he actually cares. And so I want to give you space for you to silently affirm that whatever God wants to say to you this morning, that you actually want to hear it, and then I'll pray for us. So why don't you do that now? Then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we affirm that you are here, that you're not somewhere else more important, that you don't have something else to do, but that you are ready for each of us this morning. And that you don't come empty-handed, that you want to gift us something. You want to help us with something. You want to meet us right where we're at and encourage us along the way. And so I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and open up our ears for the word that you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, to focus our time together this morning, we're going to be trying to answer one question that comes out of the text. Here it is. What are we tempted to believe when time is running out? What are we tempted to believe when time is running out? I've been watching a lot more basketball lately than I normally do. And most of the time I'm watching, I really don't care who wins. But I love a good game. I love a close game. Specifically when it comes down to the last few possessions, when the stakes are the highest, and nothing frustrates me more than when a team doesn't manage the clock effectively. which means that someone on the team isn't aware that the time is winding down and they squander the possession or they squander the game. And it's not just about it's at that point in the game, it's not just about playing the person in front of you. You have to be aware of how that particular moment fits in the grand scheme of it all, how it affects the whole. Sometimes I get frustrated with God in a similar way. Now, maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But there have been moments in my life, somebody said amen, where I've literally said these words. God, aren't you paying attention? Don't you see us down here? Aren't you aware of what this moment in our life feels like? Are you going to do anything to help us? Now, I'm not outside of time like God is. I can't see around the corner. I'm just living in the moment. But sometimes, from where I'm sitting, it feels like time's running out. And so what are we tempted to believe when time is running out? This is what we're going to be pressing into today. And to answer that question, we pick up where we left off last week, Mark 5. Jesus and his friends get in a boat and they're traveling across the lake. And while they're on the lake, a storm kicks up. And Jesus, in the midst of that storm, he speaks a word and he quiets the storm. They keep going. Jesus and his friends get off the boat. They heal someone quite miraculously. And then they get back on the boat and come back to where they came. And this is where we pick up in Mark 5, verse 22. Jesus and his friends step out of the boat. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Picture this. People have been reaching out, calling Jesus, but their calls have just been going to voicemail. People have been emailing him, but all they get back is the bounce back email that says he's out of office. Everyone who knows where Jesus is gone. Then he comes back. And the town gets whipped up into a frenzy. It says a large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And one guy has the audacity to ask Jesus to prioritize him. Now, there's a reason that he's being so bold, right? He's desperate. His little girl is almost gone. And I love this about Jairus. In fact, I think it's something that you and I struggle with. I don't think Jairus' response when he feels like time is running out with his daughter is normal. Here's, in fact, what I think we're tempted to believe. Remember, we're trying to answer this question. What are we tempted to believe when time is running out? Here's the first thing that we see. We're tempted to believe that God's too busy. We're tempted to believe that God, he's just too busy. How many of us believe that our concerns, our priorities, the things that we care about, the people that we care about, our problems, they're probably too small for God to really notice? We're no one special. Why should he care about us? Make sure you don't miss this. Jesus didn't go with Jairus because of how influential he was. Jesus didn't go with Jairus because of how devoted he was. Jairus wasn't a big donor. He wasn't pulling strings behind the scenes. Jairus didn't raise up on Jesus. Scripture said he pleaded. Another version said that he begged. Jesus didn't say yes to Jairus, the religious leader. He said yes to Jairus, the dad. And maybe you haven't heard this in far too long, but Jesus cares just as much about you as he does the dad in this story or the little girl in this story. But so often we convince ourselves that God's too busy, he's too important for the likes of us. The story picks back up as Jesus, Jairus, and their crew are making their way through this aggressive crowd. And then the story introduces us to a woman who's been suffering from hemorrhages for the last 12 years. Technically, she was unclean. Technically, she shouldn't have been anywhere near that crowd, but she had heard about Jesus, hid herself in the crowd, and told herself, if I could just touch him, his clothes, his coat, his outer garment. She knew she would be made well. And come to find out, here comes Jesus weaving his way through the crowd right by her, and she reaches out to touch him. And this is where we pick up in verse 29. As soon as she touched him, immediately the woman's bleeding stopped. She actually felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Two important things to note about this interruption with the woman who was suffering from hemorrhages. First is this phrasing. I find it so interesting. It says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. Second, immediately after this verse, it says Jesus stopped and kept looking around. The author is trying to communicate that when the woman touched Jesus, everything stopped. Everything halted. It's not as if the woman pickpocketed Jesus' healing power and he just kept going on his way. No, when Jesus felt that power had gone out from him, the whole crowd stopped. Everything stopped. And he asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this story is often seen from the woman's point of view, as it should be. But can you imagine what Jairus is thinking? Can you imagine what Jairus is feeling? Jesus, what are you doing? We have got to go. Who cares who touched you in the crowd? My daughter is on death's door. At least how I read it, Jesus sounds a little panicked. He sounds a little concerned. Maybe Jairus picked up on something. Maybe something was off. Maybe something was wrong. Oh no, did someone just steal his daughter's last chance? Here's the second insight I think we can pull out of the story this morning. Remember, we're trying to answer the question, what are we tempted to believe when time is running out? We're tempted to believe that God's tapped out. We're tempted to believe that God is tapped out. Have you ever thought of that before? That you're waiting and waiting and waiting for your circumstances to change? For a loved one to get better, for a job to come through, for a friend to text back, for a kid to call. And somewhere along the way, you can't help but think, well, maybe he's got better stuff to do. Maybe more important things popped up. Maybe he heard someone's prayer first. Maybe he used up all of his power on them. Maybe there's nothing left for me. Maybe I'm on my own for this one. Because if God's so good, why has he left me hanging? If God's so good, why am I still sitting in the same situation? If God's so good, why is everyone else's life changing, improving, or moving in the right direction except for mine? Maybe, just maybe, God's tapped out. We pick up in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Man, I feel like reading this verse every single time this past week because it made my stomach drop. Have you ever been present for something where something goes down and the exact next second, the worst possible consequence happens and they're directly related? I think back, my wife's sister and our brother-in-law used to come over and stay at our house, and they have four kids, and we have four kids. And if you add them together, all the eight kids, they're all 8 years and younger. Have you ever been to a zoo where all the animals are out of their cages? That's what our house usually feels like. Well, my brother-in-law and I share a common bond. We have a shared love, and that is for Arturo's Tacos in Grand Haven. Amen, somebody? Amen. Well, we have this ritual where whenever they come over, right before they close, we sneak in one last order to Arturo's. We pick it up. We come back home, we put the kids to bed, theoretically. They go to sleep. And then we come back downstairs and we hang out and eat tacos together. Well, this one night, my sister-in-law was not coming down. And I mean, it was like an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours past when the rest of us came down. And the thought is, my thought is, she's asleep. She fell asleep. And there's one taco left. Now, it's not my taco. It's her taco. But she's asleep. So I go over, I take the taco, and in two bites, it's gone, right? I have not even swallowed the last bite when I hear her feet coming down the stairs. She gets downstairs, and she says, this is the first words, "Is there a taco left for me?" And she's never talked to me since. No, I'm just kidding. That 1-2 punch, I think, is what Jairus and his friends must have felt. Man, we had a chance, a sliver of hope. Jairus' daughter is dying, but the moment she's about to slip away, who reappears? It's Jesus. Jesus is actually going to come to Jairus' house. He's on the way. Hold on, little girl. And then what happens? The woman stops him. Jesus heals her. Then he lingers and waits. And now look where we are. Here's a third insight I think we can draw out of the text this morning. Remember, we're trying to answer the question, what are we tempted to believe when time is running out? We're tempted to believe that God's too late. He's too late. I think this is what Jairus' friends are trying to say when they show up and tell him it's over. Why bother the teacher anymore? He's too late. Do you have any spaces in your life like that? Any parts of your heart that you feel like God missed his chance, was out on vacation, out of the office, nowhere to be found? Do you have any parts of your life that if you were to step back even today that you just feel like you're doing it all on your own? Maybe you're here today. Maybe you'd say, man, I don't really know God, but I'm here today saying something along the lines of, man, if you're really real, don't you see how much pain we're in? Can't you do anything to help us? Or maybe you're like Jairus, who by all accounts had followed God his whole life, had devoted his professional life to loving God, serving his people, and now this happens? I give you my life, and one of the most important people in my life is dying, and you're too late? What is that all about? And this is where most of us get off the bus. That we serve a God, we follow a God, we commit to a God that eventually doesn't meet our expectations. This is the intersection of our deeply held faith and the often chaotic and disappointing circumstances in life. I've been trying to answer the question, what are we tempted to believe when time is running out? Here's what we see from these verses. We're tempted to believe that it's a lot easier to give in than to hold fast. What are we tempted to believe when time is running out? That it's easier to give in than to hold fast. In my opinion, this is the beauty, the necessity of Scripture. That when we find ourselves at a crossroads, when we find ourselves in a story, not just any story, but a God-breathed, real-life story, one that has promised not just to educate us about the past, but to intersect with our present and change the direction of our future. Instead of just making up the ending, we can just keep reading. Amen? We pick up in verse 36. Here's what it says. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep." So they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in to where the little girl was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. Do you remember how long the woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages had had her condition? The one that stopped Jesus in the midst of the crowd, the one that made Jesus too late, the one that seemingly took the little girl's last chance, that robbed Jairus of being a dad. It was 12 years. And how old is this little girl? 12 years old. I think there's a reason that Jesus isn't in a hurry. He's not bound by the same rules you and I are. Death is not a barrier for him like it is for us. It's not a line for him that once you cross over, you can't come back from. That's true for us, for humanity. That's not true for God. I'm convinced that if we could see all that God sees, we'd see a pattern, a reasoning, a logic, an understanding behind why he acts, when he acts, and maybe most importantly for us this morning, why sometimes he seemingly chooses to delay. God's not too busy. He's not too important. He's not unconcerned with your life. He's not too big to care, and he's definitely not tapped out. He's not overstimulated. He's not emptied of his power. He doesn't just have scraps left for you and me. He didn't use up all of his good stuff on your neighbor, and you're just left to deal. God's not too late. That if you have breath in your lungs, that God can still use you, help you, come alongside you. Will it be according to our timeline? Probably not. Will it always make sense? I'm betting it won't. Will we have to wait and do our question and do our best to stay close to him along the way? Yes, I think we will. And I don't know why Jesus timed it out in such a way where he could heal the woman who had been suffering for 12 years on his way to raising the dead girl that was 12 years old. I do know that because of the first woman's bleeding and uncleanness, that she wouldn't have been allowed in Jairus' church. So for the 12 years that this little girl was growing up, that same bleeding woman was on the outside of a faith community looking in. I'm sure at this point in your life, you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've prayed and God seemingly didn't answer your prayer. You've invested blood, sweat, and tears into your raising your kids, and now they won't talk to you. You've invested overtime into your work, and now they let you go. You were there for a friend when they were in need, and now you're in need, and they're nowhere to be found. I'm not saying that what you've had to go through in life is fair. And I don't have a reasoning for you this morning that suddenly makes it all better. And I know that it'd be easier to give in than to hold fast. But I'm also here this morning begging you not to. That the pen is still in his hand. The page still has room to write. Your story isn't over. God's not done with you yet. Nothing can stand in his way. He is the king, even over death. You may be saying, "Evan, this is good and all, but what do I actually do?" Let me just give you three of the simplest things I can think of that might be a next step. Here's the first one. To admit you've lost confidence in God. To admit that you've lost confidence in God. I'm convinced that most of us hold back. I'm convinced most of us think God's way more fragile or vindictive than he is. that if we were really to let loose, if we were really to let God know how we feel, if we were really to put it all out there, he'd walk away. And I think at some point, it's okay for us to admit if we've lost confidence in God. The second one is this, to acknowledge that some of us have lost courage in ourselves. If I'm captivated by one moment in the story, it's the moment that Jairus' friends come up to him and say, hey, everything you've been working towards, praying towards, living towards, it's gone. She's gone. And Scripture doesn't give us an indication of how long Jesus took before he answered Jairus, but I'm convinced that that's where so many of us are in life. That something's coming down the pipe. Something's heading towards us, and we're there waiting, looking at Jesus, wondering if he's going to come through, waiting for him to move. And I just think, what a courageous thing for Jairus to do in the midst of a large crowd pressing in, crowding around, that he had the boldness to say, no, I think Jesus would care. I think Jesus would take time out for me. I think Jesus would come and help. To admit that we've lost courage, to acknowledge that maybe we've lost courage. And finally this, to ask God to give us conviction again as a whole. I know you don't need me to tell you this, but life's hard. We all go through hills and valleys. We all have trials and temptations. We all have moments and spaces and places in our lives where it'd be way easier to give in than to hold fast. And I'm convinced that this is why we gather every 7 days, to remind ourselves that we need each other and that we need God to do something for us we can't do for ourselves, to give us something, to keep going, to hold fast, to press in, and not to give up. What's your next step? I'll be honest, I don't know. And I'm okay with that. I don't have to know. Because I'm not your Holy Spirit. And all of us have access to the same God. Direct access. No one's farther ahead in line than you. That we all have access to the same God who created us, who loved us. He hasn't wound us up like a clock, and man, I wonder where they go in life, that he is intimately acquainted with who we are, what we're walking through, what we need, and he would love nothing more than to speak a word to each one of us, to help us, to encourage us, to keep us going. So I just want to give you a moment to bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe to have courage to tell God exactly how you feel. Or to go to that one place in life where there's no sugarcoating it. You're disappointed. You're distraught. You would have thought that God would have done something by now. You're hurting. You're afraid. And you're standing in the midst of the crowd and you need him to say something to you. I think that's okay to ask. The scary part is if he doesn't respond like we think he will, if he doesn't answer us, if it just confirms what we already think, that he's too important, he's too busy, he's tapped out, he's too late. But would we have the courage to be completely honest, to ask for exactly what we need? God, I pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice. And we reaffirm that you are good, that you're not messing with us, or you're not out of the office, you're not unconcerned, you're closer than our breath. And just like Jairus, we can't always predict how you'll act or when you'll respond or whether or not it'll line up with the timeline that we have, but we reaffirm that you are who you say you are, that you love us, that you're for us. And I just ask for every single person here that you would put that conviction, that confidence inside of us, not to turn away, not to turn our backs, not to throw in the towel, but to keep moving towards you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to take a moment longer. Maybe there's some of you that when you walked in today or when you flipped open the laptop, turned on the TV, you would say, man, I don't know what it looks like to be in relationship with God. I've heard a lot about God, but I don't know what it looks like to actually be close to him, to follow him. So I just want to take a moment. If you feel like God's doing something or he's speaking to you in some way, prompting you, and you want to respond or take a step, I just don't want to run past that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I just want to know who you are so that I can pray for you. And so if that's you today, will you just slip up your hand so that I can see you? Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. Yes, right there, right there. Yes, I see you over there. Yes, right there. Yes, I see you in the back. If that's you today, will you just pray this prayer in your own words? Heavenly Father, I hear you calling. I'm so sorry for going my own way. I'm so sorry for insisting on my own path. But I need you today, more than I ever have, to meet me. Just like that woman in the crowd, I need to reach out and touch you, to be healed from this suffering, from this pain, from this doubt, from this fear. Holy Spirit, would you come inside me? Would you make me new? Would you cleanse me from the inside out? And would you give me everything I need to live a life worthy of the calling that you've given me? And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, church. Can you welcome some new sisters and some new brothers into the family? Amen. Well, if that's you today, can I just encourage you to do one thing? There should be a connection card right in the seat back in front of you. And if you take that connection card, you can actually mark my decision today. Maybe it's for the first time in a long time. All that I know is we would love to come alongside you, to help you, to encourage you in this new phase. If you want to fill that out, you can take it. There's a booth in the lobby called our Connection Point. They would love to put something in your hand just as an encouragement. And right now, we're going to sing, and we're going to take communion. And if you got one of those little cups with the bread and the juice on the way in, great. If you didn't, there's still more in the lobby. If you want, anyone who's following Jesus can partake in that. And so if you want to get that during the first part of the song, and then we'll come back together in the middle. Well, why don't we stand, and let's sing together.
Just like Lazarus, oh.
We celebrate communion every week, and it's such a beautiful picture that Jesus wouldn't hold any of us at arm's length. That if we were there that night, if we showed up, that we'd be sitting down. We'd be counted as among his friends. And that's what we celebrate today. That it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he took bread with his friends and he broke it. And he told them, he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." So we do that together. In a similar way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood shed for you. Blood of a new covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink of this, all of you, in remembrance of me." And we do that together as well. Amen. Let's continue to sing.
How can I begin to thank you for all that you've done for me? Jesus, to fully praise you, it would take all eternity. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. Oh, you brought me back to life. You brought me back to life. You brought me back to life.
Amen. That's what we believe. And I do hope that going from this place, that God gives you a sense that he's not too busy. He's not tapped out. He's not too late. That he is with us and for us in all that we do. If you would just put out your hands, I'd love to give you a benediction as we leave. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may he go with you. May he comfort you in all of your troubles. May he lift up your face and remind you of how close he really is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. We love you, church. We'll see you next week.